Dear brothers and sisters, with spring, the mountains and fields frozen with snow from the cold winter become clothed in fresh green under the warm spring sunlight. Perhaps our hearts begin to feel restless at the same time. Our bodies, stiff from the winter, feel the urge to go out into the sunshine and get some exercise. We're motivated to tackle long overdue spring cleans. In spring, there are people who are busier and more active than anyone. These are the farmers. After a brief rest following the autumn harvest, the farmer becomes busy with preparations for the new season before spring. Just like previous years, farmers repeat this process. First, they till and prepare the field to make it suitable for sowing seed. They break up the hardened soil compacted through the winter and crush the clumps into fine earth. In the previous years, the farmers went through the same process, and it's not like because the farmers have already done it the previous years that they don't have to prepare the field again. Every year they have to prepare the field because throughout the 365 days, you might have hardened soil, you might get rocks thrown in, you might have certain leaves and dead plants that have been thrown in that you need to get rid of and prepare. So they pick out any stones and fertilize the land to make it rich and fertile. To reap a bountiful harvest, none of these steps are to be neglected. Each must be done with care and diligence. Despite all the effort, though, there are years when the sunlight, temperature, wind, and rainfall are not ideal, which leads to a poor harvest. And just because the farmer diligently works doesn't mean that they're going to get the best harvest. The harvest also depends on the natural environment, you know, the sunlight, the temperature, the weather. So it's why farmers labor diligently with a bit of worry in their hearts. So for a farmer, even though they put in the same amount of effort or even more effort than the previous years, each year they, you know, still labor with a bit of worry. They might put in more effort this year than last year, but not have as much good harvest. When it comes to cultivating the heart field, the situation is a little different. Once the heart field is prepared, well prepared as good soil, it yields an abundant harvest each time the seed is sown. So you don't have to prepare it every single year, every single month. You don't have to worry if, you know, the seed won't grow as well depending on the environment. Whatever is sown yields 160 or at the very least 30-fold. With a rich harvest always guaranteed, there's no worry about failure. There's no longer a need for the hard labor of initially breaking new ground. Only the task of maintaining the good soil remains. You do need to put in the effort to maintain the good soil. So when you enter into spirit, a whole spirit, you need to maintain that. And that means being faithful, being loyal, not looking towards the world, not accepting the world, and praying fervently with all your heart. When you look towards the world again, you know, your heart field becomes dirty again. But when you maintain yourself, maintain the good soil, which wouldn't be as difficult anymore, then it will be maintained. So when you have good soil, then you can maintain that a lot easier. So when you continue to do that, then you can always reap a good harvest. Though the process of cultivating the field may involve a lot of effort, the joy of having prepared the heart is experienced once it's turned into good soil. The joy of sowing and reaping overflows again and again. Are any of you still struggling and holding on to unfruitful path like rocky or thorny soil in the heart? Are you slow to cultivate your heart and think that life of faith is so hard? Perhaps transformation is only possible for special people. just grab a little more strength and start even now to cultivate, to fully cultivate your heart into good soil. The heart of good soil is a heart that hears the word and obeys as is. Isaiah 1 verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. May you quickly cultivate your heart into good soil and reap beautiful harvests both in spirit and in body. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may fully enjoy the joy of cultivating your heart field. In the world, you know, we see people who find certain, you know, activities or skills difficult. I'm sure we're all the same. But when we overcome that, that's when we can be better. But if we don't overcome our obstacle and we just go back and forth or we stop, then it'll always be hard for us. Some people we see are happy. You know, they always say that they're joyful and happy in life. And it doesn't mean that they can do everything. It doesn't mean that they were able to do everything from the start. It means that even though they had difficult and hard times, they continuously overcame that. They pressed forwards. And, you know, later on in the years, they'll find themselves in a place where what they found difficult 3 years ago is not difficult now. So when you know, people do that, you can live your life in a happy way. It's the same in your Christian life. When you don't stop, and even though you find obstacles or difficulties in life, if you press on forwards, you know, step by step, don't stop, don't rest. Even if it's a centimeter further on, keep going forwards and overcome those obstacles, overcome those stones. Don't be stagnant. Don't be complacent about where you are just because you've overcome one obstacle. Because when you stop after overcoming one obstacle, that obstacle might return. When you know, people tell me, or sometimes I hear people say that I pray easily, that I pray without difficulty. But in order for me to be at this stage of prayer, I had to put in the amount of effort. You know, praying with sleepiness. That was an obstacle that I overcame when I was a child in school. And after that, I mean, there were no more obstacles with that. Not that I had many memories of being tired during prayer. I did have a moment where when I was during my pastorship, you know, from early morning till night for 3 days, you know, I would have a seminar and I would be worried that I'd be sleepy during the 3 days seminar. So I would eat lunch really quickly and then take a bit of a nap. So in order to make sure that I don't get tired, I put in the effort. I made my environment to work. And I do have, you know, memories of putting in the effort to not be tired, but I don't have many memories of being tired during prayer. But in order to pray, you know, fervently without any fleshly thoughts, I always had to maintain myself and reflect upon myself and check how fervent I was during my prayer time. Did I pray without strength? Did I, you know, pray with good posture? Did I pray with all my heart? Or did I pray, you know, slouched? Or did I just whisper when I pray or pray easily without any strength? I always look back on myself and I always checked. Even when I was a junior pastor or you know, at the seminary. And if by chance I did pray with, you know, sleepiness, then I would look back on myself and realize that the prayer that I gave to God with sleepiness was nothing, was nil. So I would reflect upon myself and resolve to pray better the next day. And I would make sure that I would make my environment the best environment in order to pray fervently. So when we have our Daniel prayer meetings live in the church, we would never, never go out for dinner in order to pray fervently. Same with Mrs. Botnim Lee. We would never go out at all before a live Daniel prayer meeting service. In case, you know, we did get tired. And of course, you know, there is a lot of effort put into praying fervently. You know, I always had to look back on myself and find, you know, my areas of lack in order for me to fully pray fervently. And yes, there may have been obstacles, but you know, to overcome these obstacles, to find these obstacles, to fervently pray was a blessing, was a positive instead of a negative. It gave, you know, more positive fruits than negative fruits. So in order to pray fervently like now, I had to put in the effort. It's like that for everyone. But once I've overcome those obstacles, you know, you can say that you can pray fervently without as much effort. You know, it's become your daily life. You can maintain it. So look back on yourself, you know, are you the same with your faithfulness, with your praise, with your worship or with your prayer life? Look back on yourself. Don't consider it difficult to, you know, find your negative characteristics or attributes. Everyone has it. Everyone has these obstacles. So overcome these obstacles step by step so that you can have good soil in your heart. Then it will be a blessing. You know, some people, they receive blessings when they give offerings to God. Some people don't, even though they give offerings to God. You know, you might think, why do I not receive as much blessings compared to other people? You know, reflect upon yourself. Don't continue your Christian life where you don't receive as many blessings. Yes, there will be effort, but in the future, if you think about the glory received, I hope you'll be able to live your Christian life with joy. And when you have a heart filled of good soil, then you can become God's true child. Then you'll be overflown with blessings and happiness. You might think, you know, you look at other people and think, oh, it must be great to be them. You know, everything goes well in their life. I'm the same. I look at Mrs. Botnim Lee and Pastor Emeritus, and I can see that, you know, on earth when they were here, that everything went well for them, whatever they said. And, you know, I was envious to see that. Especially like Mrs. Botnim Lee. You know, during prayer, you can see that Mrs. Botnim Lee would go past people and, you know, people will just be full of the Holy Spirit and be moved to tears. It's almost like, you know, like a free present. But that didn't just come easily. That was not free, though. It was the amount of tears, the amount of faithfulness, the amount of fervor that Mrs. Botnim Lee put into her life for those many years that she was able to reap all those fruits of, you know, our church members. being moved to tears with a word or, you know, with a movement. So when you know, think about Mrs. Botnam Lee, who shed all those tears and was so fervent in order to get rid of her wickedness and any sinful natures for all those years, is how Mrs. Botnam Lee was able to just place a hand on your shoulder and you were able to be moved to tears and repent. You know, this was not free. It was all of those, you know, tears and the faithfulness and the fervor that was put in behind closed doors, which is why she was guaranteed with God's power. We're the same. God will guarantee us when we cultivate our hearts into good soil. Don't look at other people and think, how come, you know, this person always gets what they want when they pray? We can do the same when we cultivate our heart into good soil. So what kind of soil is good soil? Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 8, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times as much. Good soil is the one that bears abundant fruit when the seed is sown. In other words, it's the heart that hears the word of God and acts accordingly to produce fruit. As there's nothing in the good soil that hinders the growth of plants, the life contained in the soil is fully revealed. A single seed bears fruit 100 or 60 or at least 30 times as much. Today we'll look at the characteristics of the good soil in contrast to the path-like rocky and thorny soil looked at so far. May you diligently cultivate your heart field and examine how close your heart has come to becoming good soil. First, the good soil is not hard like the path-like soil. The path-like heart is filled with self-righteousness and rigid frameworks that have been hardened over time, so it cannot receive the word of God. It doubts and judges the word. But the good soil is soft. When seed is sown on good soil, the soil is rich and soft, so the seed settles well. As the soil holds air and moisture, the seed sprouts well. Similarly, a heart resembling good soil readily accepts all of God's word. There's no picking and choosing, believing the word only if it aligns with your own thoughts and rejecting it if it doesn't. There's no opportunity for the bird, Satan, to snatch the word away. For example, how do those with a path-like heart or who do not receive the word think when they hear God's word, love your enemies, or hating is spiritual murder? They might think, how can I love someone who has tormented and hurt me? God asks too much of me, and they cannot accept it. So if you consider, you know, myself on the altar preaching the word, the sermons, you know, some people might think, you know, you've never been in my shoes, you haven't lived my difficult life or my hard life, you know, try living in my life first before you start preaching. But, you know, if you think about it, I can't preach on the altar, you know, all of my life's instances. But if you open your heart and accept the word, then it'll go well. But when you don't open your heart and just think with your fleshly thoughts, then, you know, you won't be able to receive anything. Even facing a wicked person who seeks harm, the heart of good soil says, the Lord died for a sinner like me. Who is there that I cannot forgive? If I'm struggling, it's because my heart is too small to embrace others. I must quickly transform. With this resolve, people with good soil pray and love. You know, they think that God's word says that hate is spiritual murder. They put in the effort to make sure that they don't go against God's word. They always reflect upon themselves. They always consider God's word and put it to themselves. So all of these words become sweeter than honey. So when you open your hearts, all these words become embedded in your heart. You can receive grace and you can be transformed. And when you do that, when you prepare yourself to receive grace, then it's actually, you know, easier on the preacher and the altar as well. They receive the word of God with joy, regardless of their own thoughts, experiences, knowledge, or logic. In the spiritual realm, there are indeed many incomprehensible aspects when viewed with human logic. For example, in heaven, there's no death and we live forever. God does not have parents, but exists by himself. Can these words be understood or believed with worldly knowledge? Even God's miracles and signs, which are naturally believed at our church, cannot be believed by those with hearts hardened like path-like soil. Even if they say they believe, it's merely fleshly knowledge. For example, we've got dragonflies, and if we remember the Mammon magazine, you know, the summer retreat is constant with dragonflies. It's not easy to catch dragonflies, and some people say that they testify that they used to try and catch dragonflies, but that they fly away so quickly. You know, dragonflies, they don't just have eyes in the front. They can see on the sides and towards the back as well. So, you know, in order to catch dragonflies, they use a dragonfly net catcher. But what about, you know, at our church, you've got dragonflies that come and land on our bodies, on our church members' bodies. They don't fly away. They fly and land on our hands, on our faces. And we see these videos and these pictures. You can't say that it's fake. I mean, it's a video. But if you don't have hope for, you know, a dragonfly landing on your body, then you won't be able to experience God's works. But if you open your heart even a little bit and a hope for a dragonfly that God moves to land on your body, then you can have the hope to, you know, meet God even more, the faith to want to meet God, so that that closed heart door can open inch by inch. But when you don't have these thoughts of grace and your heart stays closed, then, you know, you won't be able to receive the inspiration or the grace. You know, some people say, can we just testify and spread the words without any videos, with just words? Or, you know, preach that our church members receive healing works, or that we see, you know, circular rainbows in the sky, but without the evidence, you know, even other Christians from other churches, they might look at us strangely, and then they might say that, you know, our church is strange. But when other people say that, it means that they don't believe. They don't even want to try and believe. And we see Christians that, you know, say that they go to church, doubt and judge other churches. But how do we believe in the visible spiritual world? It's because you've witnessed the power of God countless times. God, who is invisible yet clearly living and at work, seeing the amazing works of healing and answers unable to be accomplished with human ability, fleshly thoughts break and the heart opens to hear the word, which means God's power breaks the hardened path like heart field. But just because we've seen and heard God's power without doubt doesn't mean that there are no hardened areas in our hearts like the path. In our life, in our Christian life at Manmin, we've heard so many of God's miracles and God's works, so much that it's just naturally embedded in our hearts. And of course, we might be at a stage where we don't doubt God's works, but don't confuse yourself and think that just because you don't doubt that you're not a heart, you don't have a heart of, you know, path-like soil. Unless you cultivate your heart by casting off sin, simply seeing and hearing will lead to acknowledging God's existence, but not gain true spiritual faith. So when you hear the word and witness God's power, grace doesn't come and heaven feels vague, which leads to a life of simply going back and forth to church. With this heart, it's difficult to receive answers and blessings, no matter the longevity of your faith life. So now's the time to humbly seek God's grace and start cultivating your heart field. The heart of good soil never doubts, even when hearing about the spiritual realm. In the world, you know, people put in a lot of effort and they reap as much. But what's the end result? No matter how much you put in the effort, you can't always get what you want. Like I said about the farmers, you know, the farmers may put in more effort this year than the previous year, but depending on the environment, the weather, they might not reap as good of a harvest, even if you put in more effort. So without God's strength, without God's power, you may not receive and reap as good of a harvest. You know, you never know what illnesses, what sicknesses you'll get in the future, but those who love God and live according to God's will and have and cultivate a heart of good soil, they don't need to live with worry. When they go before God, they can receive blessings and answers. You know, why would you leave this great path of happiness and go the way of death and go the way of the world? I hope that you can transform your hearts into good soil. So when the good soil is achieved, then you don't doubt. The heart of good soil is always soft and longs for God's grace. So let's say, you know, you've got a hardened path like heart. This is another example. When you listen to sermons, and it's not just at the church or in a formal altar environment, it's when you, you know, have conversations with pastors or junior pastors, or even in general Christian life. Some people, you know, use God's words and kind of make it into a pointy, sharp stick that pokes you with God's word. Then you might think, did someone tell on me? Or you might not accept, you know, the pointy, sharp stick of God's word and think, you know, I'm not as bad as, you know, this and that. But the heart of good soil joyfully receives all correction with an amen and takes admonitions about other people's faults as their own. As the heart of good soil, it's soft, it always longs for God's grace. In other words, you can receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit well because the heart's door is open. You rejoice in others' testimonies and receive it with faith. Pastor Emeritus Lee, you know, received God's words. And it's given us great blessings because through Pastor Emeritus's effort and his ability to receive God's word, even myself and other pastors at our church use Pastor Emeritus's sermons to base our sermons. And it's a lot easier to base our sermons on Pastor Emeritus's words that were given by God. So even if, you know, we've got new pastors, they've just graduated from the seminary, open your hearts and listen to all sermons with grace. Just because they're new and they don't have as much experience, don't listen to their sermons with judgment, thinking, you know, oh, they're not as good, or they need to do this better and do that better. Of course, you know, not everyone has the same experience and not everyone has the same skill. And we all always need to extend ourselves. But when we open our hearts and prepare ourselves to receive grace in the words, and that's when we can be a spiritual child. When you try and just, you know, judge and, you know, consider what's better and what's not, then, you know, it won't be easy to receive grace. Of course, there'll be, you know, times in life where certain parts are positive, certain parts will be negative, and certain parts will be good and certain parts won't be as good. Forget the bad, forget the negative, and be grateful with the good and with the positive. But some people just reflect and remember the bad and the negative to the point where they end up forgetting all about the good and the positive parts. So depending on how hard your heart is depends on the amount of grace that you receive. So in places of grace, others receive grace, but the work of the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon yourself. You know, you might doubt other people's testimonies and dismiss it. Always reflect upon yourself and check whether you've got a heart that's hardened, that continues to doubt and dismiss. Second, the heart of good soil has no stones. Those with a rocky heart field also receive the word with joy. Though their faith is still fleshly, they believe the word, but they don't act on it. Unlike the rocky soil, the good soil believes and practices the word. Because the heart of good soil has no stones, the roots of the word grow deep and strong. In other words, there's nothing rough or obstructive when putting the word into practice. As there's no love for the world, there's no hesitation or inner struggle over whether to obey or not. There's no untruth in the heart that prevents you from the truth, so obeying the word is not difficult. Whatever the word says, you respond and obey with amen and yes. Even if trials come in, desperate situations, feeling as if you're at the edge of a cliff, you remain unchanged. Obeying the word becomes a joy. Who comes to mind when you think of responding with amen and yes? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 19. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, was not yes and no, but is yes in Him. The Lord's heart is the very example of good soil. do you think that Jesus obeyed easily because he's the Son of God, that obedience wasn't difficult for him? Would this really be true? From an earthly perspective, Jesus' life was a continuous series of events where obedience was difficult, starting from the moment he came to earth. Though he was in very nature God, Jesus had to be born into this world in the likeness of a created being and clothed in flesh. Even though he was, you know, God in nature, but born as a human being. Just that area is hard to obey. Like, you've got Jesus in the very nature of God, but having to come down to this earth as a human being. You know, this is why Jesus was our Lord, because he obeyed, you know, the very first difficult aspect of coming down to earth. During his ministry, Jesus never had any special privilege just because he was the Son of God. Instead, Jesus was held to the strictest standard of justice. The enemy, devil, and Satan continuously incited the wicked to find a reason to kill Jesus. When Jesus, who is light, proclaimed the truth, the rulers of the world persecuted him. Despite this, Jesus only acted according to the word of God. He served and never hated those who harbored evil thoughts or tried to harm him. Jesus simply had compassion and sought to awaken people with the truth. His heart did not shake, even in the face of threats. Jesus obeyed God's will to the point of death. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice of atonement for sinners who nailed him to the cross. A heart that obeys God's word no matter the trials, tribulations, or persecutions is the heart of good soil. For those whose faith is still weak, living solely according to God's word may seem difficult, but it's actually not. If stones are removed from the heart field, nothing will be difficult. Practicing the word becomes difficult when these stones are left untouched. The forefathers of faith had no fear or hesitation in giving their lives to proclaim the glory of God and the Lord. This is because loving God and the Lord was more precious than their own lives or any earthly treasure. There's no reason to hesitate, so these situations can hardly be called trials. If you remove the love for the world and the untruth that hinder you from living by the word, which are the stones, then heaven will be valued above all else in this world. By living according to the word, you can gain a better heavenly dwelling place, which means it's a joy to live by the word. Those with a heart of good soil practice the word with joy, and their lives become filled with abundant fruits of blessing. It's the opposite of loving the world. It means loving the Lord first. The heart of good soil holds firm to the word in times of trial than in times of peace. It crushes the schemes of the enemy, devil, and Satan, who come to make you stumble. It's being firm during trials. In John 4, Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Galilee. His disciples urged him to eat the food they had bought, that they abroad, but Jesus said in John 4 verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Our Lord Jesus did not carry out his ministry by resting, eating, and drinking with comfort. He was filled with the fullness simply by acting upon God's will and accomplishing his work. May you also find happiness and joy in living by the word, regardless of your situation or circumstance. I pray so when you obey, I pray that your life would overflow with joy. You know, you might think, can you be happy obeying God's word? Yes, you can. Our pastor emeritus used to say this a lot and ask you, is it easier to hate or is it easier to love? Hating is actually hard. It's difficult. It makes your life hard. Not only do you hate other people, but, you know, you find it difficult in your own lives as well. What about loving other people, though? Some people might think it's just easier to get angry. It's easier to show that you're not happy. It's easier to show that you hate. And of course, it's easier at first. But even though you might, you know, have a bit of a loss here and there, when you think of the Lord and you love other people and you show them that, you know, you don't hate them, then it ends up becoming easier. Our church members, we don't swear. You know, some people, let's say that they come to you and ask you, you know, swear, say these words, say these swear words. Is it easy to swear? You know, personally, I haven't said any swear words for 50 years. You know, it's harder to swear. Just like this, when you put in the effort, you can reach a point where following God's words is easier. Third, the good soil has no thorns. A heart like a thorny field is where the word cannot bear fruit due to the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. If there are any lingering attachments or greed for the world, even as a child of God, then you cannot bear fruit. Though you may say you're practicing the word, it's not in line with God's will. You end up relying on fleshly thoughts. For example, instead of praying to God and receiving answers, you act according to your own thoughts and methods. If there's greed in the heart, when worldly temptations arise, you may even distort the word to suit your own advantage. If there's a desire for honor or recognition, you might think you're working for God, but unknowingly work for your own glory. Outwardly, it may seem like you're living according to the word, but there's no spiritual nor worldly fruit. But a person with the heart of good soil obeys as it is when they hear God's word. They don't rely on fleshly thoughts, as the fleshly heart, the source of fleshly thoughts, has been uprooted. These thoughts don't arise. By acting according to God's word, whatever they sow will surely bear fruit. When they carry out God-given duties, it's accomplished well and glorifies God. If they're called to care for souls, the fruit of evangelism is born and many souls are led to salvation. When you devote yourself wholeheartedly, God grants health. When you give precious offerings, He repays 30, 60, and 100-fold. Living according to word does not mean acting blindly without thought. Matthew 13:23. But the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. According to this word, the heart of good soil understands God's heart contained in the word. You can discern God's will and obey. Because there's no flesh in the heart, you can rightly discern God's will and clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Whether you eat or drink, it's done solely for the glory of God. Whatever you sow and practice bears abundant fruit. This is the heart of good soil. Next week, we'll look at the three key steps needed to cultivate our hearts into good soil.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.